television, and where KSDP doesn't have that opportunity. They're not having big like Coca-Cola or Pepsi or these other big things having advertised on their station, and so that's why this contributes to about 80% of their budget. So
Warren here.
Good, Warren.
We went through this scenario years ago, within years ago. Damn near every year they have a budget issue with public radio. And I can't see where any administration will be able to shut off public radio just because they put on the wrong programming for the issues at hand. So I am not worried about this at all. I can't see them cutting that. There's just way too much involved there. All of rural America listens to public radio. They have a lot of people out there working for public radio. They have Bill Gates giving them $300 million a year for their budget. So, you know, as far as the $2,500 there, with our shortfalls here, I don't know if $2,500 is going to break the bank, but our bank is dwindling also. So I think that's all I have.
Okay, so the next two items, PERS expense, this reflects what we have to pay to the state for our, I guess to back up. So in 2008, the state set a salary cap, and at that time, the borough was running the hovercraft. And so our salary cap was quite high. And so if we become under that salary cap, then we have to pay a PERS contribution back to the state. So what we anticipate having to pay back in FY26 is $50,000. We can't get out of paying this. It's something we have to pay. I do know there's legislation at the state level that's looking at changing this, and I hope someday they do, because I don't think it's accurate anymore. It's not fair to me to compare it to 2008 values. Lots changed since then. But that's something we have to pay. Web services increase. This is IT services, but it's also monthly licensing fees. So for Microsoft Teams, Adobe, any of those items that we have to pay for comes out of the web services line item. And then rent also increased, and that's the rent for the Anchorage office. So we used to have those in everybody's department. Those have been consolidated into one fee. And then the other two, advertising, that has to do with, like, the calendars and other things like that. We don't need the full $8,250, so we're proposing to reduce that to $6,000. And then management fees is APCM funds that we pay for that we're required to pay them for their services. So anyway, overall, out of all of those, there's a slight $4,063 increase. So if there's no question on that, that covers really the general fund 10. So the next couple are more of our, like, enterprise funds, if you will. So fund 22 is for the terminal. There were no changes in the revenues. Those have stayed the same, and I anticipate them to stay the same. And then there was really no changes in the terminal expenditures. However, I needed to adjust a few line items with supplies and utilities and fuel, but it all balanced out in the end. So everything here stayed the same. Next is the helicopter, that's Fund 23. I don't anticipate the revenues increasing in FY26. They should stay about the same here as well. There are quite a few changes in the expenditure line item. However, salaries, fringe, that goes towards the Actian assistant operator person that we have, that decreased slightly. We don't need what was in there. But the biggest change is the contract labor item, which increases by $61,518. And that increase is based off the helicopter service agreement that we have with Maritime Helicopters, which is associated with the Essential Air Service. So that will increase in FY26. And that's been agreed upon and signed on already. And then lastly is just the bond construction fund. There was just a slight $200 increase for APCM fees, but nothing else changed there. Guess that wasn't last. There's still more. Sorry, you guys. So Fund 30 is the bond fund. As you can see, there's a few changes here. So for FY26, we anticipate getting 100% of the bond coverage for the harbor, $214,855 for false pass, and $108,178 for Accutan. So that is lower than what we got last year, but that's calculated by the state, and that's 100% of what they'll give us back per that agreement. And then for the school bond debt item, this is where I was talking to you about the reduction of the 25%. So we should only be getting this year, from what we can calculate, about $539,000. So there is a decrease there. As far as interest payments go, those are, like, from the audit, that is what we owe in FY26. So we owe $381,158 for interest payments in FY26 and $2.2 million for our bond principal. So that's straight out the audit, and that is what we owe for our bonds. Permanent fund earning, the only change here is some changes with the APCM. That's just what we'll end up paying them, or what we anticipate we'll pay for them in FY26. So that's just a slight change there. And then the last one is Fund 41, and this is per our code. Recently, an ordinance was changed to increase this amount from $100,000 to $150,000. So what is proposed in the budget is to put $150,000 in this maintenance reserve fund. That's by code. And then lastly, just to go over the permanent fund earnings really quickly, the permanent fund earnings for FY26 is $1,816,333. And that's the 4% of the permanent fund distribution amount based off the 5-year average market value. And what we're proposing in that is to use those funds to cover our FY26 deficit. And that will be presented via ordinance, but also via a resolution, so it's documented. So with that, that's the budget. If you guys have questions, I know it's a ton of information. Please, ask away. I am between Jackie, Mayor Osterbeck, and I. Hopefully, we can answer them.
Paul, yeah, and there's one follow up question on this engineering $75,000. Clarify what that means. Is that a retainer fee, or is it for actual work they do, or partial, or what is that $75,000? And it's coming up under a resolution too, of course.
Yeah. So
question here. What does it mean?
Yeah, so recently we went out to bid for new project management services in the amount of $75,000. That's what I think that we will be expending in FY26 on services of that nature. So that's anything from meaning to help with an RFP to, I'm trying to think, when the Sandpoint School was raining inside, they helped me address that. Those things are things I can't anticipate, so that goes under that. That's where we pay it out of. I'm going to exceed the $50,000 this year. I already have. So I increased that level to 75,000, and that was also included the RFP, which you're correct will be presented here shortly and in resolution.
And so just to clarify, the work that they may or may not do, is it, where would it show up again if they had another problem that I'm still a little unclear?
So that got moved from the administration department to maintenance.
Yes. And so that 75,000, you just give them the money, and then if they're managing another contract, that's an additional amount on top of that?
Yeah, so for those random items, like I mentioned, they bill me monthly, or they bill the borough monthly. And so that gets those get charged there. Now, however, if there's like a project, like they're helping with the Colby Clinic or the King Cove School piping, those came to you in separate agreements, and those are paid for out of different pots of money. So King Cove School piping is getting paid out of deferred maintenance. The Colby Clinic line item is getting paid for out of the HRSA grant. So, those come to you separately, and those are approved by you in a different format. I think that might have answered your question. I don't know.
Maybe that's good enough for now. Thanks.
I have a question. This is Josie.
Go ahead.
So with the EAS for the helicopter, hypothetically speaking, Trump's talking about cutting EAS. Do we know how much further that will put us in the hole?
Another 1.2 million. It would be devastating.
That wasn't in this budget, though.
No, it wasn't. Because at the time, our federal lobbyists said we should be fine. And then yesterday, 2 days ago, they said we might not be fine. So I'm not really sure what to do there, Josie. At the moment, right now, I'm going to keep it status quo. The state of Alaska has said that they'll contribute $500,000 to help pay for the borough's portion. However, that agreement's not in place, so I can't include that money here at this time because it's not finalized, and I can't guarantee that it will be. So I just left it status quo for the moment, because it's the information that I do know at this very moment in time.
And Josie, the last that I had seen after it came out was they were talking about overall kind of 60%. And then the last I seen, I think this morning, was 55% cut of the total Essential Air Service funding. But that would be nationwide, and I don't know. It doesn't say anything about where they would take it from, or you know which areas would get hit harder. AML has been working on it, and last year SWAMC and AML both did resolutions and to try and help protect the Essential Air Service, and those are getting ramped back up again. And I'm sure when SWAMC has their next board meeting or whatever, they'll probably address it there. And then I've got an AML meeting coming, board meeting in June, I believe, and I'm sure that's going to be a hot item of discussion at that meeting, too.
And to add to that, our agreement right now for the Essential Air Service goes through March 31st of 2026, so that's 8 months into this current... 8 months into the FY26 fiscal year. So I do think we'll be fine through then. It's after that, I'm not sure what the impact will be.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. More to come.
Other comments? Do you have anything else, Annie, on the budget?
No, I think I've covered everything. Thank you guys for listening and all the questions, though. I appreciate it.
Okay, if there's no more questions from the assembly, call the question on the motion to schedule for the
I'd like to make a motion that we change the budget under the KSDP back to 10,000. I don't know if I'll get a second on it or first, but I'd like to make that amendment before we go to roll call or go to call.
I'll second that, Warren.
Okay, so motion's made by Chris to return the KSDP funding back to its original of 10,000.
That is correct. That is correct. Would it be an amendment to the budget, perhaps? Is that what he's making, an amendment to the budget?
Yeah.
And of course, just to clarify, order, I suppose, would be if you could make an amendment now to the budget, or we can make one and a second reading also. If just so Chris says, different minds, but that sounds fine. And somebody seconded, I guess I'll just ask that.
Yeah, I think so. Who seconded, Warren?
Yeah, Warren did. Okay. The opposition did.
So, Annie, if normally do we do the, if they're going to do amendments at this meeting or at the second meeting?
You can do both.
So we can do it here then?
Yes, you can do it here.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we have a motion and a second on the floor to return the KSDP funding to $10,000. So, discussion. Do I have any discussion on it? So we just want to vote?
I'll comment on it. We all know what it's like living in Bush, Alaska, with our radio station, and to put the programs out there that KSDP does. There's a lot of people doing that. We definitely benefit from all the programming on there, and not to mention the fisherman point of view. We got the weather on there. That is right up to date, and I mean it's you can't compare that to thinking that you're going to have internet service out on a boat either all the time. But thanks to Starlink now we do. But anyway, there will be no opposition here, I don't think, for this. Just thinking about a cold winter day when all you have is the radio, you don't have nothing else to do. Listen to a ball game when the kids are out somewhere else. So that's a very good point, and I definitely encourage everybody to vote for it.
This is Chris. I second what Warren says. I've always been a big supporter of KSDP, and I was so happy. I know several years ago they would put in a donation request, and I'm one of the ones that actually put in a resolution or something so that they didn't have to put in that donation request anymore, that they would just be given $10,000 a year by the borough. And we've seen them use that money very wisely. Most of the basketball games this year, with the exception of regionals, were free because of KSDP paying that fee back to the sports program. So we're seeing the money used very, very well. I think it's pretty much in every community now. They can listen to KSDP pretty much in every community. And like Warren said, it is vital. I love listening to the weather on there every morning. You've got other good programs on there. We want the borough to be transparent. Our meetings are broadcasted on there. The school board meetings on there. All the fisheries meetings are on there. And even the Board of Fish. And I just would hate to see us lose that. So that's all I got. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, they rent from the city here at Seven Points. And we raised the rent probably more than that contribution right there, but I'm before them staying at 10,000 also. I still would like to see their budget. Curious, Paul.
Paul?
Yeah, Jim, this will be, if this passes, it'll be part of our proposed budget at the second reading. in 2 weeks, and I'm sure somebody will find a budget to demonstrate what it looks like. I'd like to see it also. So thank you.
Any other comments? Call question and motion.
Ryan?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So now we have the amended ordinance 2504 before you. Are there any other?
Just a quick question on the timing of the next meeting. It's in 2 weeks. What time of the day would that be 2 weeks from now on Thursday?
2 o'clock.
Okay, just checking. Thank you.
4 in the morning. No, it's 2 o'clock. Okay.
2 weeks.
Okay, if there's no other change requests, Warren, question on the vendor motion.
Paul?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you. So we are down to resolutions. So we need a motion and a second to bring resolution 2454, which is authorizing the reappropriation of a portion of the FY25 permanent fund earnings funds from the project contingency line item to the financial software line item in the City of Cold Bay Community Budget Request Funds.
This is Brenda.
I make a motion.
Sorry. Brenda made the motion. Josie, you want to second it?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Speck. So before you use resolution 2554, on June 14th, 2024, the Borough Assembly approved Resolution 2442, which authorized the mayor to appropriate the FY 2025 permanent fund earnings to designated projects. $624,061 of that was appropriated to cover the projected FY 25 budget deficit. Now that we're pretty far into the fiscal year, we don't have that. We can now reappropriate these funds to cover a portion of the FY26 projected deficit that we have, which we talked about earlier. So that would be one change that needs to be made via resolution. And then the other one is on March 13th, 2025, the Assembly approved a resolution that authorized the reappropriation of $74,172 from the financial software line item to the Sandpoint School grant match line item. I got to admit, I read the financials wrong, and I got confused with the new Excel layout, and I was off by $25,737,000. So right now it's showing a deficit, which we can't have. So I am asking that the Assembly reappropriate project contingency line items to correct the error. So that's the second request, which would help fix the budget. And then the last one is proposing to reappropriate the City of Cold Bay budget requests. Those are all permanent fund earning monies. When we met with the City of Cold Bay, it was determined that the education line item and the generator line item were no longer needed, but they really do need to invest in municipal building repairs. So we are recommending moving $12,781.01 from the education line item to the municipal repair item, and then $100,000 for the generator to the municipal repair item as well. They actually got funding from a different funding source for the generator, so they already have that. So we'd like to shift this to their needs that they're facing now. So with that, those are the recommended changes. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Ann?
Yeah. Eddie, I got a quick question, and I don't know, maybe this is going to be down further, but I know we're kind of talking about Cold Bay and funding and all that. Have we heard any more on the PFAS situation out there? What's going on with that, or do they need any more help with that, or is the state still taking care of all that?
Chris, we've got a motion in front of us to deal with it.
Okay.
We can give you an update on that at a later date, if that's okay.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good,
Paul.
Okay. Just to clarify your memo and the motion, Annie, you have $12,000 and $100,000 we're reallocating to this line item. Anyway, to one line item, refresh us on what the line item is. It an existing line item? I'm trying to find it.
It is an existing line item. It's line item 21,599,9202. It's going to, that line item already exists. There's already money in it, but we just move all those funds over to meet the city's current needs.
And what is that line item for again, please?
Cold Bay Municipal Repair. So for municipal building repairs, essentially.
Which municipal building, if you don't mind my asking? I don't know.
It would be like the city office, the community center. Those are two of the buildings that we discussed that needed some repairs done to them.
So again, just following up again, and is this spelled out in our capital projects list under Cold Bay before? Or following this very well, I guess.
So in the past, when we did community budget requests, we entered into grant agreements with them for these projects. So what would happen, Paul, is the Cold Bay education line item and the generator contracts or agreements would end, and then we would amend the existing agreement that we have for the municipal repairs. Those were approved through that community budget request process.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Okay. I'm wondering to myself why it's on our budget at this, on our agenda at this particular meeting. And not move to when we consider all the community's items at once. But
maybe I'll take a stab at it. So basically, these are old grant monies that we granted to the community for projects that they were working on. And one of them, like the generator, they wound up getting funding from another source, so that money is sitting in there. And then we had a conversation with the manager of the OBA, and basically they've got most of their buildings over there have, like us, they have big maintenance issues with them, and they're trying to catch up on the maintenance. So it would be a good idea to take the funds that they haven't used on these projects that they've already completed, that's left over in there, and move it into, through this resolution, move it into one item for them so they could be able to do some of the repairs on their buildings before, during the summer. So it's basically money that we've already given them, and we're just going to reappropriate it to a different project for them.
And so to clarify again, that the money's already been, it was from last year's budget, but we're just Okay. Thanks. I think you can spend any money you want on any buildings, or is there a procedure they have to go through to? I don't know how that works.
And I don't know if there's stipulations you put on that or not, or if it's just for maintenance.
No, we have grant agreements in place already, and it's just for general maintenance of the building. So I don't know how to say it. I don't want to micromanage it down to the exact penny what they use it for, but they do have to submit invoices, so, and those are approved. All right, a payment.
Other questions? Okay.
It was answered again.
Okay.
You got it.
Call it here.
Get somebody to be. That's fine.
Tom?
Oh, yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 2555 authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Dow to provide professional engineering project management and construction management services for Illusions Eastboro in the amount not to exceed $75,000. We need a motion and a second. Bring it to the floor.
I'll second it, Chris.
Okay. We need a second.
Second, Chris, I said. Sorry.
I'll make a motion.
Chris and Jim.
Okay.
Chris and Warren.
Okay.
I didn't hear Warren.
I didn't hear Warren, and you guys were talking at the same time. Okay. So, Annie, now that we got that straight now. Go ahead.
All right, so Resolution 2555 is before you. In September 2020, the borough did enter into a contract with Dow for professional engineering, project management, and construction management services. The borough and Dow have exercised the two-year contract and the additional three-year renewal options. Therefore, consistent to our code, the borough issued a request for proposal on March 17th, 2025 for qualified consultants to provide professional engineering, project management, and construction management services on an as-needed basis to assist the borough administrator and staff in the management and administration of various borough projects. On April 21st, 2025, the borough received two proposals. On April 24th, a selection committee met to review the proposals, and it was determined that Dow was the most qualified respondent. The selection committee recommends the borough issue a contract with Dow from July 1st, 2025 through June 30th, 2027 with an option to renew for an additional 3 one-year periods by mutual consent of both parties with a contract ceiling of $75,000. Funds are proposed to be in the FY26 budget under the maintenance department for the service. And in the event that the borough conducts a specific project, the borough request a separate scope and fee proposal for the individual project that will be presented to the assembly and funded through a separate account. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for Annie? Paul?
Yeah, Annie, I was under the impression it was more bidders, but I guess it's part of the public record. Who was the other bidder that didn't get it? And what was their amount?
Meridian, they didn't submit a fee proposal because it was for $75,000. So both of them went off the $75,000 rate. So they didn't, they gave me their rates, but they didn't give a dollar amount. That's not what we were asking for. It's just set at $75,000. So we don't have to spend all of it. So if we come over under, that's great. But we can spend up to $75,000 if it's needed throughout the fiscal year.
And following that up, were there any other bidders that didn't qualify that aren't listed besides those two?
No, those are the only two we received.
Other questions? Hearing none, question on the motion?
Josie?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have resolution 2556, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute change order number 2 with Western Marine Construction, Inc. in the amount not to exceed $58,995 and to allocate $91,005 of grant funds as a contingency fund for the project. We need a motion and a second.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
This is Josie. I'll second.
Thank you, Josie. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, I'll speak to Assembly. In the packet is the information for Resolution 2556. There's a lot of back history here, but basically, Western Marine Construction has submitted change order number 2 in the amount of $58,995 to address a series of electrical conflicts with the project plans and specifications. This will provide additional circuit to backflow preventer hotbox and revised routing due to incorrect panel location in the electrical design, which will require trenching, backfill materials, and mounting to approach trestles, which will total that $58,995. The borough does recommend approving this change order, and it will increase the contract amount to $8,688,595. This will not cost the borough any money because it will fall under the PIDP and the State of Alaska Harbor Facility grants that we already have in place. So basically, I don't have authority to approve it, so I have to come back to you guys to get that. But all the funds are covered under those grants. I'm also requesting that you authorize $91,005 out of the grant funds as contingency funds. So if another change order comes up and it doesn't align with the meeting, I can approve that. And that too will be covered under the PIDP and the State Harbor Facility grants. So it's not coming out of borough monies. With that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Questions for Annie?
There's a drawing that I'm looking for real quick of the ramp. Was this part of this resolution or a different one?
No, this was part of the drawing you're referencing as part of the changes for the change order.
They show it looks like electrical wires. That's why I'm just asking. I couldn't.
This was submitted by Western Marine as part of the change order.
Okay. And all this equipment, because of the, it's on the barge is coming in tonight here at Sandpoint, apparently at 9 o'clock or so, but maybe. This stuff is here already.
No.
Some of it will be shipped up on postal.
Okay.
Some items. And I don't know which they are, but so basically this thing left Seattle, you know, a while back before we got into this farm. I don't think they knew exactly where the electrical was stubbed out, so they had to make some corrections.
And that transfer was in a car wreck a couple of years ago. I think they fixed it, but yeah. Okay, thank you.
Other comments? Question on motion?
Chris?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So that's the last of the resolution for this meeting. We don't have anything under old business, nothing under new business. So we're down to reports and updates. And Annie, before I let you get started, I wanted to say a shout out there to our newly minted clerk. So congratulations to Glenora on completing and receiving Certificate of Municipal Clerk. So this has been three years in the making, and it's something that I had wanted to see for years, was to have two clerks, case one wanders off during meeting time, which is quite possibly might happen soon, Lee. So anyway, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Do everything. Do we have two mayors?
Not yet. Do you want to be one?
No.
Oh, we have two mayors. We have three mayors. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, I think this is really great. So thank you for the hard work over the last 3 years in getting your certificate.
Yeah. All right. So my report is in the packet. The first one's the clinic. We issued a change order in April 25th, 2025, to do some more demolition to some of the siding and pop outs and vapor barrier. So that was approved. There were two other change orders that I did have to decline because it exceeded my pay authority, but also would push the project past the needed completion date. So the HRSA grant does expire July 31st, 2025. I have to have everything finished by then. So they're working diligently on getting that project completed. And there's zero extensions at the federal level. So that is the hard deadline. So we're going to try to get that wrapped up prior to then. Terminal, we're just doing a lot of minor maintenance, which is great. So hopefully we don't have huge issues in the future. But we did have the cargo door repaired. And then Mark Johnson, who's our new terminal manager, is doing other repairs throughout the building as they pop up. So that's really great. And a big thank you to Glenora for helping out throughout that process as well. Sandpoint pool update. I think this was in the last one. There's really not many other changes. We did have on April 18th, Alaska Sewer and Drain, as well as Dow, went out and did some CCTV, so some camera work on the pipes. So we're waiting for those results. And then yeah, I think that's all I have. We are doing a 65% reconciliation for the pool on Tuesday. So at the May 22nd meeting, I should have some more information for you on the swimming pool. So that's going to happen this coming Tuesday. As far as the school goes, I actually don't see necessarily an update on that, or I might jump ahead. UIC construction is scheduled to arrive in Sandpoint on Monday, May 12th. So this coming Monday. And they are going to begin demolishing the locker rooms at the school, which is really exciting. And then they'll start mobilizing their equipment and getting everything set up to kick off the construction season for the deed project. So that was a long time coming. I'm really excited they're going out on Monday. And the school district is engaged in that and have been informed that they're on their way. So that project will be kicking off Monday. As far as the Sandpoint Harbor float goes, I think, Paul, you stole my thunder. The equipment or the barge is arriving supposedly on Friday, maybe late this evening. So they're scheduled to arrive. They're going to drop off the majority of the items. At that time, I think there's electrical, plumbing, and something else that will come out on Coastal out of Seattle. But they are arriving. They will not begin the project until between July 14th and 28th, they said, because they're going to go to Cold Bay first and deal with that elision issue first. So, and then they'll come over to Sandpoint and begin working. So anyway, that is very exciting as well. These are some big projects that have been going on for years. So it's exciting to see them come to fruition. So on April 15th, Mayor Osbach, Jackie, and I met with most of the communities. Nelson Lagoon, we did not have a chance to meet with, but I'd like to set that up here shortly to discuss as a group what's occurring in the region and in their communities. Numerous items were discussed, ranging from fisheries to schools, financial and other items. One item that was requested was to look into conducting a regional economic plan, which is something now that the budget's drafted, that I'll start looking into and possibly bring that before you guys for your consideration. And then on the 15th and 16th, we met with the communities, Cold Bay, Sandpoint, False Pass, King Cove, and Actan, discussed their revenues, expenditures, major projects, needs, reviewed the stabilization fund and other items, and I have a list of things that I will be following up with the communities now that the budget's done. So we'll be moving on that forward, and I'll provide updates when I can. The other one is well, you just passed the resolution for this. So this was for Dow. It's just an outline of the timeline and when everything occurred. So that resolution has been approved. And then the other one, and one project I did inherit, is the information technology request for proposals. We did go out on March 25th with an RFP for IT services. We received one proposal by the April 22nd deadline. And on April 29th, we've reviewed that and determined that it was deficient. So we're going to reject the proposal, and we're going to go back out to bid. ICE Services will remain as our IT provider until a new entrancy is under contract, but we will be reissuing that RFP in the next couple of weeks. There's some updates on school projects. One of the big ones is the King Cove School Water System Piping Repair Project. That we went out to bid with as well. We did receive one proposal, which I'll be presenting information to you at the March 22nd meeting. I just don't have a lot of data to provide now, but we did only receive one proposal, and at least we received a proposal is what I've been told, because contractors are very, very, very busy right now. So I'll have more information on this project for you on May 22nd. So other than that, I was also going to congratulate Glenora. I think that's super exciting. And also Beverly has hers as well and got hers back in October. So huge accomplishment for those two, and I'm very excited for both of them. So thank you.
Questions for Annie?
Well, and there was a separate Colbert bid from the state for the ramp work on Sabine. I don't know if you even mentioned that. You might have mentioned it, but did they award that bid? And if they did, who's doing that work?
So I'm sorry, what was the project?
There's piling on the ramp in Cole Bay, and the state already put out a bid, apparently. I think I saw it at the post office. Do we have any information on who was awarded, or if anybody got awarded that bid?
I don't know. I'd have to follow up. I would assume it's Western Marine, but I'm not sure.
They're working on Cole Bay, it'd be nice to, hopefully they coordinate that, that's all.
Is this the dock?
No, the ramp to the dock. There's three or four pilings.
Oh, okay.
The state put out their own bid on that.
Yeah.
Three piling or whatever it is. I'm not sure, but
those are the piles that are basically rusted out, that's reduced the load rating for the dock. So the state did issue that. I just don't know if it's been awarded. So I'll follow up on that and let you know at the next meeting.
Yeah, the thing I saw, they were just cutting a piling in half and laminating it together somehow, I think, but I'm not sure. That's all. Thank you.
Other comments or questions for Annie? And in your packet following Annie's report is a quite long report from our lobbyists, and they seem a lot of good information in there. So with that, thank you, Annie and Ernie.
Thank you. Assuming you can hear me, my report's in the packet. Start off with Salmon, included some links on the management plans, also that update from the department on Chinook conservation. We'll be dealing in June with Chum conservation and in July with Chinook conservation, especially the seniors. I also included the June fishing calendar. That's from the South Peninsula Management Plan. Matt Kesey stated that they'll have a preseason meeting on May 30th at 10 a.m. using our Teams network from the Sandpoint office. Just a note that all salmon in June must be retained, and I hadn't read that Alaska Administrative Code before, but it's noted there. There you go. Alaska Board of Fisheries, the governor's appointees, the legislative consideration has been ongoing, and they will meet in joint session May 14th. And those two, Tom Carpenter's been on there for a full cycle, and then Olivia Irwin, who works with Yukon River Drainage, is the other nominee. So those will be taken up along with, I guess, all the other governor's appointees. I included the cycle meeting for the Board of Fish, those in bold in October and in February are the ones that apply to us, and we have side rooms at the Egan. All those meetings, except for the November AYK meeting, they're all at the Egan, and that one's up in Fairbanks. For the council, the appointees will be announced in the appointees that were nominated by the governor are Nicole Kimball and Angel Drobnicko. Those will be announced in late June. I included a link to the April newsletter for those meeting highlights. I plan to attend the June meeting virtually, staying here in Anchorage, I guess, is where I'll be. I am plan to submit a declaration. Hopefully they can take it up that we will have eligible POC processing communities. I'll submit comments and then testify on that. Because otherwise there is no community protection except for mid-year. They can't take their POC out of the community mid-year. And POC obviously has been important to the borough for a long time. Under Alaska Legislature Fisheries Bills, as mentioned before, the legislation session ends May 21st, and any bills that are not passed are still available to pass in the second session next year. I can talk about any of those. We've been following most of these. There are two that have passed the House, House Bill 31, derelict vessels, and then the HB 116, the Commercial Fishing Insurance Co-op. But otherwise, they're all still plugging along. On the second page, I included the map of the annual lease sale of oil and gas. It's been, I think put it right there. In 2014 was the last time we received any bids on that, but I'm always waiting with bated breath on that. This graph on fish tax might be a partial answer to Member Babcock's question during Annie's financial presentation. You can note that FY25 is our revenue through the third quarter is less than half of what it was in both FY22 and 23. And going, my Excel spreadsheet goes back to 2008, and FY25 through the third quarter is the lowest since at least 2008. Our fish tax goes back to year 2000. I haven't completed that, but I can do that if we need to know, but it's pretty low. And then a couple of meetings to add. May 6th, 2 days ago, was the Cold Bay Airport fence meeting, which was supposed to be just in person in Cold Bay. It was real interesting. Most of the DOT people were not able to make it to Cold Bay, so it became a virtual meeting. That construction will happen in 2028. And then next week, also on not on this list of meetings, is the CCC is the Council Coordination Committee meeting, and that's next week. Otherwise, I can answer any questions if you have any. Thanks.
Thanks. Are there any questions for Ernie? Paul?
Yeah, Ernie, I don't know if you meant, you know, the confirmation hearings with the legislature and the Board of Fish nominees. I thought I read in the newsletter it's the 17th. Did I get that right, or did you cover that some other way?
I don't think I published that in, because what I heard was the 14th, the joint session. I just happened to be listening to the House session when they announced that. So I don't think it's on any published agenda anywhere, but that's what Bryce Edgman announced.
Okay, it'd be interesting to see how that goes. Unclear to me. Okay. I don't know how that graph you have with the income. I do know on Bristol Bay rents sold for one candidate $1.30 last year, but if you look at Under Current News today, you'll see there's a prediction of much higher sockeye headed and gutted fish. Anyway, yes. People are interested in it, so I'll mention it. Thank you.
Other questions or comments for Ernie?
This kind of answers my question that I asked Annie back earlier, with what Ernie has put up there on the AEB fish tax for the third quarter. So appreciate that. I think it talks for itself, and wish it looked a little bit better, but I appreciate what you did there, Ernie. Thanks.
Thank you.
Other comments? Thank you, Ernie. Sharda.
All right, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, you have my report in the packet. I'll start with EM.
I called your name, but I was thinking, I haven't seen her in a long time. I'm glad you're there.
Yes, I am here. I'm alive. I'm in the flesh. It's been kind of a hectic couple of months for me. So for EM, I'm in the process of finalizing the financials and closing that grant out, which is due June 30th. And so as soon as I have the final reimbursement requests and reports, I'll make sure those are available for the Assembly. We do anticipate this grant closing out about $78,000 under budget because of some kind of unexpected operational changes with the processors during the project that significantly reduced the observer costs. And we actually had been working with the Alaska region to spend some of those funds to work on a few other projects. But after things started getting a bit unstable at NOAA, and so that went away, and they didn't really have the resources to work with us on some of those projects. So unfortunately, that money's just going back to NIFWIF. Also of note, I have a Fisheries Monitoring and Advisory Committee meeting coming up next week. And I was approached, a couple months ago by NIMFS about interest from the fleet in transitioning to using EM for bottom trawl, which there is currently an exempted fishing permit for rockfish trawl right now to kind of test out using EM and bottom trawl. And so I'm not sure if that will come up again next week, but it's definitely something I've put forward to the fleet to see if they would be interested. So more to come on that. Moving into cod tagging. So I have been gone a lot. I was out in the field for a few weeks doing the last survey. So now that the field work is complete, we're gonna completely shift over into processing the remaining tags and working on the analysis. So I won't bore you with the details, but we are fully committed to finishing these tags and having tech memos available. So NOAA produces tech memos, which are not peer-reviewed publications, but they are a formal way of making data public so that they can be used by stock assessment. And my hope is that we will have these published by the October Board of Fish meeting, which would be very helpful to be able to speak to some of what we're seeing with the cod tagging. Also, PAC States has announced the 2020 cod disaster applications for owners, vessel owners and processors and tenders. So we anticipate pretty shortly that the applications for harvesters will come, for skippers, and then also finally, the research funding RFP will come out for that. I'm fairly certain we'd have a good chance of getting funding if we had a proposal. At the time I wrote this, I said that I had no new updates for the acoustic telemetry project. And as of just 2 days ago, we were notified by NPRB that we did receive funding for our proposal, which was very exciting because it's a pretty competitive year. So that project is around $235,000. About $135,000 of that is going to be awarded to the borough. And now that we know that's funded. I'll be working on an RFP for charter services to work on that project, which will be exciting. So hopefully we'll have that out for bid soon. Moving on to salmon projects. So